Why water baptism, part 38. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana. Should you require any of the books which I've written, or maybe the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rottenham version, please contact us at our WhatsApp 0722-367-124, or just go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za, all small letters. If this is the first time that you are to participate in the study, you are very, very welcome. But I urge you to go to part one of the study. Start from the beginning, because you have missed quite a bit of information already. It's very important to subscribe to the channel to receive the different notifications in order to continue with the other studies as well, especially our TikTok messages, which is basically 3 minutes long as a rule. Share this link with your friends and family. Make sure that you have a 1611 King James Bible, a pen and a writing pad ready. I trust that this study is going to be a blessing unto you in the wonderful name of Yahushua, the name above every other name. Alleluia. Welcome to Breakfast with Prof. Hannes. What a blessing, what a blessing. We are busy with this study, and the theme is why water baptism. Now, we've done Acts 2:38 yesterday morning, and I'm just going to continue in the last part of the scripture of the verse, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now, we were taught in our churches that if you do not speak in tongues, you do not have the sign of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's not one scripture in the whole of the Bible that says you need to speak in tongues to prove to anybody, especially to Yahweh or Yahushua, that you have received the Holy Spirit. It's not. It's not scriptural. The speaking in tongues is one of the gifts, of the 9 gifts. It's not the first gift. Actually, it's mentioned the very last. Paul says, Apostle Paul says, I would rather want to lay my hand on the sick, or cast out demons, or have a word of knowledge, or a word of prophecy, before I speak in tongues. And then the Protestant church world came and they uplift the speaking in tongues. And then also when people prophesize to give the interpretation of speaking in tongues, which is also a gift, the interpretation of tongues. The interpretation of tongues and prophecies is not the same gift. It's 2 different gifts. For many years, especially when we were, well, my generation, we were young children and young men, there was a lot of uncertainty about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how it operates. And we will see how people were slain in the Spirit and they will fall and lay on the ground and speak in tongues, or otherwise they will just speak in tongues and somebody else in the church will actually give the interpretation. You must go and read 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14. The Bible says, he that speaks in the tongues must reveal it himself. He must interpret it himself, not somebody else. That has never happened in any Pentecostal church. Throughout my life, it never happened. We'll find somebody in the front of church will speak in a tongue, and somebody in the middle of the church will give the interpretation. Or somebody in the back of the church will speak in tongues and somebody in the front will give the interpretation. It's not the same person. The Bible says it must be the same person. That's how we were taught. And even today, there's a lot of confusion about speaking in tongues. I just don't want to say just speaking in tongues, but especially the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, in a later stage, I'm going to do a whole study on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, if your factor is to come. And you shall receive, verse 38, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. My wife, Pastor Rika, has never in her life spoken a tongue, but she has the gift of healing. She has the gift of healing, laying hands upon the sick, and they become healed. I had an accident when I was young, or a young man, 23, 24 years old. My neck was broken and my back was broken, and Jaffa has healed me in a miraculous way. All the proof was there, all the x-rays was there for many, many years as proof. I don't want to take a lot of time here. But sometimes when I want to move something, I would just bend and pick it up and move it. And then I will feel my back will just snatch like this. It will just be a little tickle, a twinkle in my spine. And I will have pain for a couple of days. Now, it's because I'm not sensible. I was not thinking not to pick the stuff up. Rather ask somebody else to help me carry it. And once or twice I've hurt my back and I will be in tremendous pain. And Pastor Rico, when we lay in bed, she would turn to my side and she would just put her hand on my back. I won't even hear her pray. She doesn't even pray out loud. And I will just feel that my back feels right. And from there on, I won't have any pain further. So it's not how hard I pray that moves Jaffa to do a miracle, or how hard I can shout that draws Yahshua's attention. Because the word says, before you spoke, I already knew. And the way that Yahshua is using, or Jaffa is using Pastor Rika, my wife, is a proof of that. So again, I want to say, you can have a gift, and maybe there's people listening and looking at this video right now. They thought they are no good spiritually because they don't have five or six gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is not a criteria that you must have all nine gifts. You can have one. You might have a word of knowledge. I would rather want to have a word of knowledge than speaking in tongues. Because when the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, when I speak in a tongue, I'm the one who being blessed. I'm the one. It's not a crowd. It's a personal thing. But when I have a word of knowledge, I can bless a lot of people with a word of knowledge. So there is not a way that you need to speak in a tongue to prove that you have the Holy Spirit. You might never even spoke in a tongue in all your life. And you might be closer to Jaffa and Yahshua than many of those who spoke in tongues and they don't live according to the word of Jaffa. Total holiness. That is what is important. It's not how many times I speak in tongues that is making my position better in heaven. It's a personal experience. I speak in tongues, but it happens when I'm in privacy. Very seldom, even when Pastor Rika's with me. I might even drive the car by myself. And the anointing of the Ruach will just come upon me and I will speak in a tongue. And I will hear myself giving the interpretation of it. Or I might be praying privately, because as a family, we have our time together to pray and study the word of Yahweh, but we also have our private time where we pray and study the word. It might happen when I'm praying on my own. Why? Because it is a personal experience. It's not for the second person. The Bible says not for the sinner or the unrighteous to hear. It's important for them to hear a prophecy, because a prophecy will unveil secrets in other people's lives. But there again, you must be very, very careful when you want to live in the gift of prophecies. You must make very sure when you say, "Thus saith Yahweh," that you know it's Yahweh speaking, so that you don't make him a liar, saying that he said something and he's never said it. How many times in church I heard those things? God says this, and God says this, and God says this, and it never happens. So who was lying? The prophet or God? Yahweh? No. The Bible says there's one thing he can't do. There's one thing Yahweh can't do. He cannot lie. Will he say something and not make it true? He cannot lie. It's just the only thing he can't do is he will not lie. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I trust that this conversation is meaning something to somebody out there. The promise unto every generation. My heading for Acts 2:39. The promise to every generation. For the promise is unto you. Now, we know now that he says in Acts 2:38, he says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now it continues, "For the promise is unto you." Who? Those who are listening right now. Them who were listening to Peter, Apostle Peter, 2,000 years ago. The promise was unto them. "For the promise is unto you," because Apostle Peter was speaking, he was using the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven unto that masses of people who came together on the day of Pentecost. "For the promise is unto you and your children." Does it mean little children? Babies? Children? Little children? No! It's not little children. Because first of all, a baby or children cannot repent. I don't know what the word repent means. So repentance is for adult people. Am I right? That's why the scripture that we used last week, I think it was last week on Friday, where it says in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and are baptized or immersed will be saved." He or she that believeth. Can a baby believe? Can a child believe? I don't know what it means. Although Yahushua said, "Unto them belongs the kingdom of heaven already." So they have what we are striving for. We had it, but we lost it through sin in our lives. So what happens? "For this promise is unto you and your children," which means generations to come. My son Niklas and my daughter Nelly. Niklas is 46 and Nelly is 42. And they are my children. They are not my children or my children. I mean, Niklas is 115 kilograms. He's a massive big guy. But they are my children. I refer to them as my children. They have grown up children. Their children already have children. Do you understand? Makes me a grand granddad. So, This promise is unto you, that was Apostle Peter, and unto your children, which means generations to come. Doesn't mean to children. Because some traditional churches use the scripture to christen babies, unto your children, and to all that are afar off, which means in the future. All of them who are in the future. As even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I'm using the 1611 King James Bible here. Because I'm going to explain this in detail. And to all that are afar off in generations to come, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I want you to look at the word Lord our God. Lord our God. And this is supposed to be what Apostle Peter was saying on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to leave you with a question again. I want you to find out if this is possible that Apostle Peter could refer to the words Lord our God. Go and make your own little study. Is it possible? Just because it's written in the 1611 King James Bible and all the English Bibles, does it mean that he could have said Lord our God? Till tomorrow morning, if it's Yahweh's will, Maranatha, Yahweh's coming back again. Hallelujah.